Who's better? Who is stronger? Who is greater? We all want to know the answers to these questions. Each of us has this little competitive edge within us. As much as we try to fight it, as much as we try to suppress it, we all want to know that we're better than someone else. That the team that we're backing is better than someone else. Whether it's University of Iowa or NDSU, well, NDSU kind of proved yesterday who was better. But whether it's our children, whose kids are smarter, better behaved, get better grades, most athletic, who can eat the most, who can lose the most weight, who can earn the most money. We all want to be better than someone else. Debates about who is better and what is better have gone on since the beginning of time, and they will continue to go on. But there is one debate that never seems to end. It is the question of who is better, Batman or Superman? On one side, you have the Superman fans saying that nobody, and I mean nobody, can beat the Man of Steel. I mean, he's faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. He's able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. I mean, he is the epitome of the overpowered superhero. There is no way that a man in a bat costume could ever get the upper hand on the big blue Boy Scout. On the other side of the debate, we have the Batman fans. And they're screaming at the top of their lungs that no amount of brawn in the world would ever be a match for the world's greatest detective. With an array of gadgets in his utility belt, the Dark Knight has the right tool for any occasion. Add to that that the Caped Crusader has been known to carry Superman's one weakness, kryptonite, for just such an occasion. And it's a no-brainer. Batman would bring old Supes down to his knees. And the debate goes back and forth, with each side coming up with a new scenario in which their prized fighter comes out on top. However, we don't have to argue about this. We don't have to debate this because the topic has been settled. The answer has been settled for us on a number of different occasions throughout the movies and throughout comics, most recently in the Batman v Superman movie. Now, the movie had its issues, but it did help paint for us a picture of what a showdown between these two superheroes, the Man of Steel and the Caped Crusader, would look like. Throughout their encounter in this movie, Batman uses a number of different kryptonite gadgets to weaken Superman, to overpower him, to hurt him. Batman clearly has the upper hand in this fight. But to his credit, Superman's heart really isn't in it. He doesn't want to fight Batman. He doesn't want to hurt him. And in the end, they end up uniting against a common enemy. I know, spoilers, but they ruined it in the trailer. And the movie's been out forever, so if you don't know that by now, you should. Outside of this movie, however, there are many times in the comics in which these two superheroes have gone head-to-head, in which these two titans have come to blows. The most notable is the Dark Knight Returns storyline upon which the Batman v Superman movie is based. And in this comic, Batman, being elderly and at the end of his career, he builds for himself a suit, a mechanical suit to take on Superman. This suit gives him increased strength. It covers him in a hard outer shell to protect him from Superman's mighty blows. This suit evens the playing field. And after a long, drawn-out fight, Batman finally gets the upper hand. He weakens Superman with a kryptonite arrow and just starts going to town on him. Now, I am a huge Batman fan. If you look through my office, there are a number of different Batman items, bobbleheads, plaques, whatever. I love Batman. He is my favorite superhero, probably my favorite fictional character of all time. And at this point, I want to yell and scream, see, look, right there, Batman can take on Superman. Batman can win. Batman is better. However, it's only a minor victory. And Batman knows it. Even in the comic, Batman knows that this victory is only temporary, that Superman will recover. And so in his elderly age, he fakes a heart attack before Superman can recover. Many times throughout the comics, across their many fights and encounters, Batman, being the smart guy that he has confessed that if Superman truly wanted to kill him, he could do it without breaking a sweat. No matter how many resources he has, no matter how much prep time he has, he's still human. And therefore, Superman will always have the upper hand. He will always be better. And as difficult as it is for a diehard Batman fan to admit, I have to say that Superman would beat Batman in a fight. After all, he's only human. But with that being said, we too are only human. We each have our own limitations. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much we want to do, we will always be limited by our own humanity. I mean, each of us desires to live that perfect life. We want to live that Jesus kind of life. We want to walk like Jesus. We want to talk like Jesus. We want to live a life just like Jesus. Many times when we face difficult times, when we fail, when we stumble and fall, this thought comes through, at least my mind, I'm assuming everyone else too. Man, this would be so much easier if Jesus were just here. If I could just sit down and talk to him, a face-to-face conversation, if he could just tell me what to do, tell me what's going on, just give me the right direction. It would be better if Jesus were here. We tell ourselves that it'd be better if Jesus had stayed here to teach us, just like he had with the disciples. But Jesus would beg to differ. Jesus himself, in speaking with his disciples, told them quite the opposite. In John chapter 16, Jesus is speaking and he tells them, "Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you." Jesus is telling his disciples here, as well as us, that it is better for him to go so that he might send the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? I mean, is Jesus really saying that the Holy Spirit is better than Jesus? That's pretty much what he's saying here. It is better for Jesus to leave and send the Holy Spirit than it is for Jesus to stay and for the Holy Spirit not to come. But why is that? To understand this, we first have to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Now, we in the Church of the Nazarene, we are big on the Holy Spirit. If you look at our teachings, if you look at our doctrines, the Holy Spirit is central to that. Our core doctrine of entire sanctification, of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it's what we scream from the rooftops. I mean, if just look at our logo. Front and center, big and in the middle. You can't miss it. We have the dove and the flame from the Holy Spirit. We are big about the Holy Spirit here. But who is the Holy Spirit? In short, the Holy Spirit is God. The Bible teaches what we refer to as the Trinity, the triune Godhead. It lays out for us that there always has been and only ever will be one God. However, there are three personal distinctions in God's very complex nature. These three persons are known as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now notice, these are the three persons of the Trinity. That does not exclude the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. Often when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we say just that, the Holy Spirit. Much as we would say that's the drum set or that's the piano. We set it apart almost as if it's not a person, an entity. This is evidenced by our pronouns that we use. Like when we talk about Jesus, God the Son, we say he went and did this, he said that. Same with the Father. We say he did this and he did that. But when we speak of the Holy Spirit, many times without even thinking about it, we don't say he. We say it. Almost subconsciously taking away that personhood. But the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not subservient to the Father and Son, is not the redheaded stepchild. The Holy Spirit is equal in power, is equal in authority to both Father and Son. But what does this Holy Spirit do? Many times we don't realize everything that someone or something does until we don't have it anymore. I'm from a computer programming background, and I've done programming at a number of different places. Every place that I've gone, there's always new things to learn, new processes. Every place has its own tools, its own systems, its own processes for how things work. And whenever you go to a new place, you just kind of have to learn how they do things, what tools they use and whatnot. Coming in, it takes a little bit of time, but you get into the rhythm of how things work there. Since entering the pastorate, I haven't had a whole lot of time to do computer programming. I know, you'd think with working only one day a week, I'd have plenty of time on my hands. But the truth is, I've done little things here and there, some side projects for previous employers, but nothing really too big. But I have had a few ideas for personal projects that I wanted to take on. Most recently, I had this plan with having children's quizzing going on in our church and in our district. I wanted to be able to make a tool where quizzing directors or teachers or parents even could go to this website. They could say, I want to cover lessons 1 through 10 and be able to get a list of practice questions in a nice printable format that they could use to help teach the kids, to help prepare them for upcoming quiz meets, to help make sure that they are understanding, that they know the Word of God. As I thought about this project, I thought, that's not too hard. I mean, it's a simple, once you get the information in, it's simply just pulling the information back out. Not that big of it. The hardest part would be formatting it, getting it into a printable format, but that wasn't too big of an obstacle. It's a simple input-output type of project. And so with a rough plan in place and a week's worth of vacation ahead of me, I thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and tackle this project. I'm going to begin to work on this project. However, as I started to work, I realized that the job was much bigger than I had anticipated. Yeah, it was just a few database queries. It was just grabbing information out. But I didn't have any of my tools. I didn't have my code editor. I had to download that and install that and get that all set up. I didn't have a vast array of libraries that every place I've gone to work has just had available to make the processes of, getting information that much easier. Yeah, I could make all these tools. I could build it all myself. But this was no longer a simple input-output type of project. Suddenly, I was needing to create the infrastructure that I was used to having all along. Now, you may not do programming, but I'm sure that you have tools of the trade. That you can relate to those days when you don't have everything that you need. And the work is just that much more complicated. These days, everyone carries around a cell phone. We get used to just having it. Maybe it's a smartphone. Maybe it's an old flip phone. Whatever it is, they seem to be attached to us. And if you've ever forgotten it, you're running out the door, you forgot it in the car, whatever it is, you dropped it. For whatever reason, you don't have your cell phone on you. And you think, oh, I just need to look up this bit of information. Oh, I just need to call or text so-and-so, find out where they are, find out when they'll be home. But suddenly you can't. You don't have that tool available, and it's like you've lost your right hand. You can't function as you normally do. That's how it is with the Holy Spirit. Each of us utilizes the power of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis without even realizing it, without even recognizing that that's what we're doing. We've become so accustomed to it, we don't even think about it anymore. Here are just a few things that Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit does. First of all, the Holy Spirit teaches us. Jesus tells us in John 14, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." Have you ever had that moment? When just at the right time, a scripture verse or a Bible story pops into your head, and suddenly you understand what you're supposed to do in this moment. You understand the direction you're supposed to take. Suddenly you see the whole world in a brand new light or know just what needs to be done. That's the Holy Spirit teaching you, reminding you, helping you to understand what God is saying to you. And Jesus flat out told his disciples, "I'm not going to tell you everything. There are things that you just can't handle yet, and I'm not going to tell you." But he promised that the Holy Spirit would come, that the Holy Spirit would teach them, that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. And he continues to do that today. He continues to reveal to us. If you've been reading through your Bible and suddenly this one verse pops out at you, you've read it 100 times, but suddenly it makes sense. You understood it this way before, but now you understand it means this also. Or you understand a new characteristic of God. That is the Holy Spirit revealing to you, teaching you, reminding you, helping you to understand what a true relationship with God really is and looks like. Additionally, the Holy Spirit convicts us. Jesus says, when he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And we tend not to think about it, because it's always been there. You can't name a time when it wasn't there. Some people, they just call it your conscience. And to some extent, it's true. We learn from our past mistakes and we grow from them. But many times, it goes beyond that. You just have that feeling, that understanding of this is right and this is wrong. This is sin and this is righteousness. You have that underlying knowledge, that underlying conviction about the nature of God. It goes beyond the conscience. It goes beyond a learned behavior. Now, we may suppress it. We may ignore it. But all the while, the Holy Spirit is convicting. The Holy Spirit is teaching us, directing us away from sin and toward righteousness. And finally, the Holy Spirit helps to keep us away from sin. We're told in Galatians, "I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want." This right here, this is the heart of the doctrine of entire sanctification. When we talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to sin. In fact, if we walk in tune with the Spirit, we won't sin. Now, we can go our own way. We can make our own decisions. We aren't coerced into doing any of this. But if we surrender to God, as it says right here, if we walk by the Spirit, we will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. The Holy Spirit can and will keep us from sin if we let Him. All of these things and many more, they are the workings of the Holy Spirit. Now, we may look at our lives, and especially in those times of trial and difficulty, we may think it would be so much better if Jesus were just here to talk to us, to teach us. But Jesus knew that He, as a human, had limitations. He could not teach and guide all people across the world. He could not convict the world of sin and righteousness. He could not keep us from sin. And so He sent us someone better suited to help us. He sent Himself, God, the Holy Spirit, to dwell among mankind, to speak to the hearts across the globe. He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within mankind so that we might not only be told how to live, but that we might be transformed to live a life like Christ. You see, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper. Not so that He could teach us how we're supposed to live, but so that He could live through us. See, we think it would be easier if Christ would just show up and tell us how to live, tell us what we're supposed to do. But the truth is, He's done that. We have it all laid out for us in the Scriptures. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve what they were supposed to do, and they didn't do it. We think it would be easier if Christ were to just show up and tell us what to do. But in reality, He has done one better. See, Christ never intended for us to live that perfect Christian life. Jesus has not called us to live the Christian life in our own strength. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. See, through the Holy Spirit, we are not living our lives following the teachings of God, trying to do our best to earn righteousness, to be the best person we can be. Instead, Christ has offered to live the perfect Christian life for us through the Holy Spirit within us. You see, that's why the Holy Spirit is better. Though we love Christ and our love for Him is not diminished, we need Him. And we long to see Him. We long to be with Him. we must acknowledge that what Jesus knew all along is true. That it is better for the Spirit to live within us, to live through us, than it is for Jesus to live beside us. For us to live in the power of the Spirit. That's why Jesus sent him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we continue to learn about who you are, who the Holy Spirit is, what it means for us in our lives, Lord, we thank you. Lord, that you knew what we needed. That, Lord, even though we may think we have it all together, we may think that it'd be better our way, Lord, you are all-knowing. And Lord, you have done what is best for us. That Lord, that we cannot live the perfect life, that we cannot follow you in our own strength. Lord, you have provided us with the Holy Spirit to do it for us, to do it through us. Lord, that what we can't do in our own power, in our own humanity, Lord, in your strength, it is all possible. And so, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for living in us, for living through us. Lord, for empowering us to be like you. Lord, may we continue to strive to grow closer to you, to surrender to the Holy Spirit, to allow you to live the perfect Christian life. Through us. We pray in your holy name, Lord. Amen.